Singer-songwriter Amy Mann has made music the center of her life since she dropped out of the Berklee College of Music in 1978 to play in the Boston punk band The Young Snakes. Since then, she has released 9 solo albums, many on her own Super Ego label. Mann has appeared in movies and television shows like The Big Lebowski, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, American Crime Story, and Steven Universe. This year, her 9th record, Mental Illness, won the Grammy for Best Folk Album. Before her concert at the Mahawi Performing Arts Center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, Friday, Mann spoke with WAMC about the themes on her latest record.
I mean, you know, like it's tells it like it is. There are a lot of songs about, you know, people who are mentally ill. You know, like people taken from my own, you know, my own experience with various, you know, people in very, you know, with various, you know, problems.
What was the Boston that you like grew up in as a college student like, and how's that compared to the Boston of today?
Well, obviously, like, I don't live there anymore, so it's very difficult to say what it's like today. But when I was there, it was like kind of miraculous in how supportive of local music it was. There were a million clubs, and you know, I had this little band before I started my band Till Tuesday, and we would play just locally, opening up for people, and I actually, you know, could support myself. I mean, not that well, but you know, I could pay my rent just playing shows around town because there were so many clubs in town. You know, you could play several times a week. You know, it was really amazing. I feel like it was a real, fun community feeling of, you know, different bands that you knew and were friends with and would see, you know, seeing the same clubs and be on the same bill with. And it was a fun and exciting time.
You've been self-releasing your own records on your own label, Super Ego Records, since the late 90s. How important is it for you to have control over all aspects of the production of your music?
It's pretty important. I mean, it's kind of the only thing, you know, like I think in this day and age, especially there's very little guarantee that you will make any money from releasing a record because people just don't buy music anymore. So, you know, there's really no point to doing it if it's not going to be the kind of music that you know, that you want. Like, why do it if you can't enjoy every aspect of it?
Has your songwriting process changed since you first began the experience of creating music?
It has. I mean, it's kind of hard to say how. Like, I think before a song would either have an idea or I didn't. But I think it's easier for me now to sit down and just you know, deliberately start playing around with something or playing a chord change or, you know, switching to a different instrument and have something come out that then I know I have the skills to turn into a song, rather than having to wait to be inspired and, you know, either it happens or it doesn't. It definitely responds more just to putting the work in.
During the 2016 presidential election, you released a song that was explicitly in protest of then-candidate Donald Trump. How much of your music is derived from contemporary political protest?
You know, it's not in a direct way, because I think that's harder to... I think that's harder to do sometimes. I mean, that song is like a real one-off. But you know, the emotional aspects of it, you know, the fear and chaos that situation engenders, I think is, you know, definitely feelings that I've written about.
As an artist with a foot in the music industry and experience in the film and television industry, what's it like seeing the Me Too movement make its path through Hollywood?
Well, it's, you know, it's about time. I mean, and it's interesting, like, I don't know, just it's how, it's that weird world where you sort of know that kind of stuff goes on, but you don't really think about just how, you know, how pervasive and how really crazy it is. And, and the you know, and the impossible situation that these women are put in. And you know, I think people often have this idea about Hollywood or actresses, like, well, why don't you just do something else? Like, you know, but it's, you know, if you're acting or just it's your job, that's your job. That's the thing that you do, and that's the thing that you do best. To the idea of like having to switch careers because other people are behaving poorly is really, you know, impossible.
So back in 2002, you put out a record entitled Lost in Space. And now, 16 years later, Netflix releases a series called Lost in Space. Conspiracy? Are they ripping you off here, Amy?
Well, my Lost in Space was based on the original Lost in Space show, which I loved as a kid. I mean, it wasn't based on it. It was just you quoting the title. But, you know, so I have to be, I would be the first, the original ripper offer, and then maybe they did some ripping off.
So I'm noticing here that when you re-released the record as a special edition, you included a cover of Coldplay on it. And to many, Coldplay sort of gets written off as maybe the epitome of mediocre mainstream music. But it seems like you really coaxed something very special out of that cover. Do you think Coldplay is underrated by traditional musical standards?
I think that Coldplay's melodies are really beautiful, and I think Chris Martin's vocals are fantastic. I think he's a really great singer. I think he's one of the best singers in rock music. And I think their melodies are very, you know, very, they're very evocative. He's a great melody writer, and I do think that's underrated.
Come up to meet you, tell you I'm sorry, you don't know how love.
So you've managed to work with some incredible people, ranging from Paul Thomas Anderson to Elvis Costello. Are there any celebrities or heroes of yours that you still sort of get anxious or excited to meet or work with?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I try not to. I think I've met enough famous people to know that sometimes when people are really famous, they can be kind of awful. So I think, like, in a way, I'm never excited. You know, like, I'm never really trying to meet famous people because I'm afraid that will be the case.
I'm a big fan of the late 70s and early 80s punk scene in Boston, everything from Mission to Burma to hardcore bands like Negative Effects. How much of that scene did you encounter when you were a young person living in Boston?
I encountered, you know, I knew the guys in Mission to Burma a little bit. You know, they were definitely seen as kind of an exalted, you know, the exalted local heroes. I knew some guys who were in the, you know, initial punk, you know, kind of straight edge scene. So, you know, I worked at a record store. I worked at Newbury Comics before it was a franchise, when it was just like in a little storefront, and we made change out of a, you know, a roll of dollar bills in our back pockets. So, you know, all the musicians in town, you know, would go there to buy records. So, you know, I definitely ran into a lot of musicians.
So turning to June 2018, what are you listening to this summer? What's like on your headphones that's motivating you or exciting you or challenging you at this point in time?
I'm writing music for a couple of musicals. So I'm really more interested in musicals right now, like than you know, popular music. I feel like I'm kind of out of the pop music loop. So it's, you know, probably either songs from other musicals as reference, or just classical music for fun, or, you know, music that I grew up with. Like, I've been listening to Neil Young's Harvest and Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. That's been the last, those were the last two records I listened to.
Sitting in